Good morning. So glad that you're here today. So glad that we have the chance to be together as a family. I want to start this morning by sharing with you two stories. The first is about a man named Mark. Mark grew up in a home that was not particularly religious. There was never much said about God, no prayers ever prayed at the dinner table. But as Mark grew up, he met and fell in love with a girl and started going to church with her in a small little country church building out in the down a small little lane. And he began to listen to the sermons and hear the songs that were sung, and it wasn't too long before Mark was joining in. And something was taking root in his heart. He began to learn more in the Bible classes about what it means to be in a relationship with God, and he began to ask questions, and before long he started having some very serious conversations with the country preacher for that small little church. And after not too much time, Mark was baptized into Christ and accepted the Lord into his heart and into his life and began that wonderful relationship of connection with God. His faith began to grow and he began to see the importance of being connected in a real relationship with God. Not much longer, he and his girlfriend were married in that small little country church. He was on fire for his faith, and he was really deeply connected to God, but for whatever reason, in that small little church, there were two or three families. It seemed as if everybody was related to one another. And as much as he tried, it seemed as if Mark could never really break in. People kind of stayed to themselves in their own little family units. Families invited one another over to their homes for Sunday lunch, and Mark never got invited. Whenever I met him, he made the statement to me that it was 25 years of attending that church before he ever felt like he ever really connected to anybody else in that congregation. Here is somebody who is deeply connected to God, but feels very disconnected, or did for a long time, from other believers. Now let me tell you a story about a girl named Renee. Renee was a girl that was raised in the church, and she knew from a very young age that all that really mattered in life was being in a real and authentic relationship with God and being deeply connected. And she took her with God, and she took her spirituality very seriously. It wasn't long after all those Bible classes and conversations about the importance of accepting the Lord as the Lord and Savior of her life that she was joined with Christ and baptized for the forgiveness of her sins. And her relationship started pretty strong with the Lord. Several moves took her different places, and eventually she found herself bouncing from faith community, from church to church, never really getting connected with many people. But then she moved to a place of a rather large church, and in that church, she began to make some of the deepest relationships with other Christians that she'd ever had. Her relationships were growing really strong with other believers, not just surface conversation and not even just enjoying the social time, but instead having real deep conversations about things of substance that really matter in life. She made the statement, "I could never see myself leaving this church because my connection with other believers are so strong." But at the same time, she confessed and made the statement, "I feel like I'm as far from God as I've ever been. I don't feel connected to Him. I don't feel close to Him. And I so desperately want to." She made the statement, "I feel like that my soul is so thirsty and so desperately wants to come to know God in a deep way, but I feel like that I'm dying of thirst, that there's no real connection, and I feel like God's a million miles away, and I don't know how to get close to Him. Here's somebody who feels very deeply connected to other people in relationships, other believers, but feels very disconnected from God. This morning, what I want to share with you for the next few moments is how that it is so crucial for all of us as we're maturing in our discipleship in following Jesus, to be not only connected strongly in our relationship to God, but also in our relationships with one another. And how that really you can't have one without the other. The two are so intimately connected with each other that Scripture would refer to our relationships with each other as believers as being the body of Christ. And Scripture would refer to the fact that the body of Christ is the bride of Christ. And there's a deep connection of God's people, not only with each other in this relationship, but also with Him. And the two feed off of one another and are very intimately connected. Now, I appreciate what Bill said in the prayer, in our opening prayer, because he mentioned toward the end of that prayer that if you really just stop and think about it, all the things that we're involved in life, so many of these things will not last. At the end of the day, when all is said and done, when this life is over and is but a distant dream, all that will have remained is how much you are connected to God and how much you have been connected with other people. In heaven, that's what it's all going to be about, is connection with God, loving each other, us being together as the family of God around His throne in united praise together. That's all that matters. And that's the reason that Jesus would say those are the two greatest commands. The most important things that you could focus on in your discipleship walk is loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself. These are the most foundational things. So when we talk about what does it mean to be serious about being a follower of Jesus and being a disciple, what does it mean to travel that pathway and to mature in your discipleship? It all starts with connection. Because the chances are you probably are not going to feel motivated to want to grow in your faith or to be outward focused in service to other people or to share your faith unless first you feel a pretty deep connection with God and with other believers. It all starts there. Connection. Jesus would emphasize this strongly. The night of His betrayal, Jesus centers down on talking about some foundational core concepts that are so at the heart of what it means to follow Him that He left this with His disciples. Jesus in John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 gives a long discourse of final teachings to His disciples before He's crucified for the sins of the world. And it's in the middle of all that discussion that in John chapter 15, Jesus says, you need to remember the foundational things, connection with God and connection with each other. In the passage that was read for us from John 15, Jesus uses the language that would have really spoken to His audience there because they were so had such a background in agriculture. And so He says, well, let me put it to you this way. I'm the vine, and you all are branches coming off of the vine. The branch has no ability by itself to do anything of worth, can't bear any fruit by itself. The only reason that branches are productive is if they are connected to the vine, and the life force that flows through the vine flows into the branches and creates fruit. But the key is the connection. And then Jesus would go on to say, right after that, in the same chapter, I want to leave you with this most important commandment. Love one another. Stay connected to each other. So Jesus is focusing in on that and showing us that if we think about what it means to follow Jesus on a disciple's path, it all starts with these two ideas. Connection. Connection with God and connection with one another. Now, some of us come from agricultural backgrounds. We have familiarity with that. But for a lot of us, that language doesn't resonate. So Scripture gives us a lot of other metaphors and images to help us get the point too. And one of them that I think probably helps us more in our modern day and age and most of the backgrounds that we come from is the imagery of the body, the human body. Jesus says, "My followers, all of you, are like different parts or members of the human body." And Jesus says, collectively, all of you put together, doing your individual parts with your individual gifting and abilities and talents, make up the one body of Christ. And then Scripture would say, Jesus says, "I am the head of the body." Jesus is the head, and you and I are the body. Now follow me on this. Imagine for a second that you've got your human body, and because of some freak accident, God forbid, one of your limbs, let's say your arm, is severed from the body. If you have a human arm laying over here that is disconnected from the rest of the body, it is going to die and is not going to flourish and not going to be healthy because the connection is severed. Not only that, an arm that is severed from the body is no longer connected to the head. So if you want to be strong in your connection with Christ, the head, you have to be connected to the body, the church. So you see how the two are so interdependent. You can say all day long, my personal relationship with Christ is important to me and I count it very valuable and I want to see it flourish and grow. But if you're disconnected from other believers and don't have any rich, deep relationships with other Christ followers, your connection to the head is going to suffer at best, if not die. Because the body, the member, is severed from the body and is therefore no longer connected to the head. But think about this. You could have an arm, for instance, on the human body that is still connected by virtue of the ligaments and tendons and bone structure, still connected to the body. But let's say, through a freak accident, that there is a severing of the spinal cord. You could have a member of the body that is still connected to the whole body, but is severed from the head, and therefore that member is going to be useless. It's not going to flourish. It's not going to be all that it is designed to be. By the same token, you could be a person that is very intimately connected to the body of Christ, very plugged in, very involved. You serve, you teach Bible class, you do all these kinds of things in involvement with the body and have deep relationships with other believers. But if your personal connection to God is not paramount and you don't take it seriously and it's not being fed and strengthened on a daily basis, the spinal cord has been severed of connection, as it were, you're not going to be what God wants you to be. Do you see how both of these are so interdependent with each other and both are vitally important? Connection with God and connection with each other as believers. They are both so, so very crucial. Well, the question then would be, how do we have that connection? Let's look first at connection with God. Connection with God obviously starts through the means of believing in who Jesus is and accepting Him to the point that you have decided to put to death your own life and make Christ your life. And open your life up to the filling of God's presence, His Holy Spirit indwelling within you. That's where it starts. It has to start there. And so, if you want to be connected to Christ, first and foremost, you must be baptized into Christ and drink from the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 10. And that connection is described in Romans 6 as being united with Christ in His death and then being raised with Christ in the likeness of His resurrection. That's where connection with God starts, and it can only be there. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Do you see that Jesus is the life blood, the flow of life? The connection with God happens through Christ. And so maybe that's where you need to start. Maybe that's your next step of getting serious about being a disciple. But now let's, for the rest of the sermon, assume that you are connected with Christ, you have become a Christian, you've been joined with Christ in baptism. How do you keep the connection with God and the connection with other believers strong? Connection with God is energized by worship. I'm convinced that worship is a God-given gift to us as a means by which the connection with God, the signal strength of connection with God, remains strong, is through a priority that you and I place individually and collectively upon the importance of worship for feeling connection with God. What is worship? Worship, there's a word throughout the New, several words in the New Testament, probably the premier word that is used to translate the English word worship, literally means to bow before. So what is worship? Worship is where your spirit, your human spirit, is bowing before God's spirit. So what are you doing when you worship? When you are worshiping, you are in a frame of mind where you are intentionally being aware of God's presence. You are getting into a frame of mind where your spirit is bowing before His spirit. You're in a frame of mind of recognizing His presence. Now that happens in a lot of different ways. How do we recognize God's presence? Sometimes we recognize God's presence when we look at the stars in the heaven like David did and we see God's handiwork. We are bowing our spirits before Him, recognizing His presence. Sometimes we may be on a walk out in nature, up in the mountains, and we see all of God's creation and we see His power and His love and benevolent care for us, like Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1, and our spirits are acknowledging Him and bowing before Him and reverencing Him. And then whenever we pray to God, what are you doing? You're getting in a frame of mind where you're recognizing His presence. Or if you study your Bible and meditate on the great truths of what God is about, you are positioning your heart and your mind in reverent awareness, bowing your spirit before Him. Or if you are fasting for an intentional purpose and focus of focusing upon God and contemplating His greatness, these are all ways, all of this falls under the umbrella of worship. And worship is something that we do sometimes individually, privately, and sometimes we do it collectively. And we've been commanded in Scripture, encouraged in Scripture, to see the value of both. Your worship to God should not be limited to the time that you come to this building. But there's a great importance of coming together with other believers to collectively bow our spirits before Him as well. Both are vitally important. Worship is a place where we are connecting our spirits with God's spirit. That's what's happening there as we bow our spirits before Him. And so in worship, there is this process of giving and receiving. We give our praise in worship to God, and we receive encouragement from one another, and we receive encouragement from the Spirit of God Himself. Each of these is important. Worship is for God, and it is for us. Scripture would talk about that, about how that we lift up our praise to God but we teach and admonish one another through our songs and our hymns and our spiritual songs. Both are vitally important. And it's the interconnection, the interdependence of connection with God and connection with each other are both taking place to a large degree in worship. But now I want to push on this a little bit for me and for you as an individual. When, even though worship is for God and it is for us, when we come to worship, when you come to worship, are you more of a taker or a giver? Are you more of a consumer or a contributor? I want to challenge myself and challenge each of us that in our own personal discipleship, that we see the importance of connecting with God in worship, connecting our spirits to His Spirit, that we see that so is such an important thing that we want to always come with a demeanor and an intentionality of wanting to give to that. Worship is about what you come bringing to Him. It's really about how you bring your spirit to Him. We need to bring our best. We need to be most vulnerable with ourselves before the Lord. Worship is about you personally getting to a place in your heart and in your mind where you're opening your spirit up to Him. And when you open your spirit up to Him, and when we're together and we're all doing that, we see each other giving in this way, opening our spirits up before the Lord, and it is a blessing to us all. It's an encouragement to us all. You want to create an atmosphere where you see people pouring their hearts out to God in praise? Let me encourage you. You be the one to start. Be vulnerable. Be open. Be honest. Be passionate. Be enthusiastic in worship, in your personal worship to God. And it will become contagious with others. You see, you can't program this stuff. You can't mandate worship. Worship is a spiritual thing that happens on a spiritual level. It is something that happens deep within us and among us and through us. But when you give yourself personally to worship, becoming vulnerable before the Lord and passionate and enthusiastic before the Lord in your praise, it becomes contagious. So I want to encourage you and me to bring a willing heart when we worship, not only when we worship God privately, but when we worship Him collectively. Bring a willing heart that is open so that the Spirit of God can move in and do something powerful in you and among us that cannot be programmed or scheduled by any man. Through our vulnerability and by giving passionately before God, what are we doing? We are begging You, Father, to bring Your Spirit here among us. We know His Spirit dwells in us personally and collectively. But what we're doing is we're inviting the glorious presence of God to fill this place. And we need to desperately have hearts that long for that, just like David's did. Do you remember how David described it? God, my heart, my soul, it thirsts for You like a deer that's panting for water. We need to cry out to the Lord and thirst for His presence and make connection with Him our number one priority. Worship, you see, is what keeps the connection with God strong. But then secondly, fellowship with each other is what keeps our connection with each other strong. What is fellowship? Fellowship means joint participation. It is a sense of a deep kinship that we have with others, with one another, because we rally around a common cause. Our fellowship with each other is so important to Christ that He died for it. We see the early church we see how important that they felt fellowship was, that they devoted themselves to the fellowship, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 says. If worship is the spinal cord that the life of God flows from the head into the members of the body, and we stay vibrant and alive through the connection of worship with Him, if worship is the spinal cord, then fellowship is the joints and the tendons and the ligament that keeps us all together. And so I want to say to you, and I want to say to myself, that let us see how unbelievably important and foundational that connection with each other is to your spiritual growth and to mine and maturity. And if we're seeing that as being vitally important, that Christ would die for it, that the early church would devote themselves to it, then that means it's got to be important to you too. If it's important to me to be connected with other believers in a really deep and meaningful way, then I got to make room for that in my life. The excuse that I'm too busy to invest in relationships with other believers is no excuse at all if I see this as paramount in importance in my spiritual life. Do you see how important it is? It was even important to our Lord. Jesus was the most connected person there could ever be with the Heavenly Father. He knew connection on a level with God the Father that maybe we'll never know. And yet, when He walked the sands of this earth, Jesus knew how important it was that He be connected with other people too. And you can't be connected deeply with everybody, but you can choose a few people, just like Jesus did. He chose 12. And then even in those 12, there were three that He was especially close to. You and I need to see the importance of that and follow the steps of Jesus in our discipleship and find people that are sharing our faith, that we share our faith together and we share our walk together, that we're honest and open with, and we grow and we mature together. Do you have those kinds of relationships? Or do you keep to yourself? You see, I'm convinced that this is so vitally important that we need to make room for it and stop being so busy. We need to see the value of bringing families back together again. Invite people over to your home. Be hospitable. Open your home. Open your life. Share yourself with others and make it a priority. I know I need to repent of this, and maybe you do too. And God knows my heart. I'm working every day to repent of it. And I'm amping up that desire to repent of it. To repent of being self-absorbed. To repent of being arrogant and self-protected. To repent of always wanting to circle the wagons and be isolated and stay to myself and huddle only with my own family. You see, Christ died for us, for our fellowship. His death means our communion together. And we are wronging God, and we are wronging each other when we keep each other at arm's length. It is time for us to repent of our selfishness, of our clannish ways, to repent of our individualism, and to invite each other into our lives, to invest in one another, and to invest even when there's no return on the investment. And we can all start somewhere in that process. If we see this as being vitally important to what discipleship is really about, so important that Jesus would give this as His final rallying cry on the night of His betrayal. Be connected to God like the vine and the branches, and love one another as I have loved you. Be connected to God and connected to each other. He saw it so important, these two concepts, that's what He taught in His final teaching. And when He died, He told us, "Do this in remembrance of me." And when you take of the one bread, Remember that you are one body. Jesus gave us the wine and the bread as a means of not only communing with Him, but communing with each other. That's what it's about. And He's reminding us of the importance of that. But our communion with God and communion with one another must not be limited to the observance of the Lord's Supper. That is the catalyst, the reminder that should permeate the way we live with each other and the way that we live on a daily basis in our walk with God. And we can all start somewhere in seeing the importance of it. Maybe you need to focus on connecting with that one person that you know God has put in your pathway. Maybe you can start by eliminating that one thing in your life that is keeping you from really being connected to other believers. Maybe you need to repent of that one sin that keeps you always living your life at a relational distance from everybody else. Connection is life. For branches to live, they must be connected to the vine. For limbs on the body to work, they must be connected to the body. For the spiritual life to flow into a disciple, we must be connected to God and connected to each other. Discipleship starts with connection. And each one of us needs to challenge ourselves to be devoted to that kind of connection. The path of the disciple requires that we open ourselves up to God in worship and that we open our lives up to each other in fellowship. It all starts right here with connection. Let us pray together. Our Father and our Lord, we know that we could never be connected to You if it weren't for Jesus. But we're grateful, Father, that He has created that avenue of connection. I pray, Father, that we would all bow our spirits before You as we walk through our lives, that we would be intentional to open our hearts up before You and invite an awareness of Your presence always into our lives and be deeply connected with You. Where we've not, forgive us, convict us to see this as so foundationally important. And Father, forgive us when we've isolated ourselves from one another and kept each other at an arm's length. Help us, Father, to see the importance of opening our lives up to each other, to see the importance of finding a few people that are other believers that we stay deeply connected with, that we're accountable to, that we're real with, that we share our faith together. Help us, Father, to foster this place, this fellowship, this congregation, as being a place that values so much and helps in every way one another to connect to You and to connect to each other. Grant our shepherds the wisdom as we move forward with the vision of this church to create the best avenues we can to stimulate connection with You and connection with each other, so that from what we do here together, it changes us into people different individually. We are grateful that we have each other and that we have You. Help us to see the value of these connections. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please? Connection with Jesus begins with surrendering your life to Him. And this morning, there may be somebody in the audience that needs to take that first step You know from what we said at the beginning of the sermon that you've never surrendered your life fully to Christ. And if we can help you in that way, we would encourage you to come forward. Let's have a conversation or speak with me privately in the foyer. There'll be shepherds of this flock in the library right through that door to pray with you and to encourage you to share faith with you. If we can help you in any way to come to Jesus and surrender your life to Him in belief, confession, repentance, and baptism, or if you need prayers of encouragement, you can let your need be known and come forward as we're all singing together.